Business. Hello and welcome to the Business of Property podcast. I'm Stuart.
And I'm Simon.
And we've been finding, buying and growing income from property for over 20 years. And we talk every week about the reality of running our property businesses. As always, we'd really appreciate it if you do leave us a little rating on your podcast player. Just scroll down as you're listening now and hit that button. It takes less than a second. So we would very much be grateful if you could do that. If you've gotten any value from this show whatsoever, since you've been listening, you could also leave a review and we always read those out on the show. So please do that. This week's episode, we are following up from something Simon and I touched on a few episodes back where we had a difference of opinion around, or a difference of view actually, in terms of building property businesses. And my view is that businesses need to be profitable. And I think that in general terms is an accepted fact that that businesses, if they are not making money, they are not actually businesses, or they won't be for very long, at the very least. Although, of course, there are some nuances in property, and we talked about this on the podcast episode where, of course, as property and business owners, we sometimes don't mind the losses because it means we can offset tax, but we still get to take some amounts home. So this episode is really Simon putting forward an example that he's drawn up to try and persuade me that building a property business that loses money could be a good thing to do. And today we are going to be looking at a spreadsheet. We do love a spreadsheet, and you know, we love a spreadsheet, and we certainly love a spreadsheet about property. And if you want to have a look at that, we will share that with you. You can just click in the show notes if you want to follow along. Okay, Simon, why don't you take us through what you've put together?
Well, first of all, I just mentioned about businesses not making profits or making losses, and of course, that's how most technology businesses start. Venture capital is there to run businesses for years and years and years, making a loss. Although, admittedly, they do then sometimes disappear.
Well, anyway. On this one, so if we're going to get into this already, I would argue that the ones you're talking about, so let's talk about all of the big businesses, Google, Facebook, I mean, they've all come around. They're the ones that succeed. For everyone that succeeds, there are thousands in a graveyard for that very reason. But please carry on.
Yes, let's not start thinking about the graveyards just yet. So the property business, which generally speaking you can't get venture capital for, but you can sometimes use external funding for. So is that the same? I don't know. But anyway, so the property business that we are talking about today is completely fictional. I have made it up, and it is structured such that timings line up perfectly. So the business comes into existence at the exact point when you buy your first property. So there is some fiction involved in this without any doubt. But the purpose of this property business is to buy a property, a fairly standard, simple buy-to-let property every year. And it's going to buy one at the beginning of its first year, and then it's going to buy another one at the beginning of its second year, and so on and so forth. And we're going to sort of follow it through over a few years. And this is going to be, I picked some numbers because we need some numbers. So it's going to be a £150,000 property. So relatively cheap property. And it's going to be a property that we buy that needs a little bit of work to it. Now, this is fairly important to sort of get right. And I must say at this point, this podcast is very definitely not financial advice. It is especially not tax advice. Make sure that you talk to a professional before relying on anything that we talk about or mention in this episode. In fact, this podcast as a whole, but especially relevant for today.
Yeah, so, and Simon and I have never been professional. So yeah, we could never be included in that bucket.
No comment. Right, moving on. The property you buy needs a little bit of work, and it's important to get this level right. So when you buy a property, you have to put in a deposit, you have to pay stamp duty, you have to pay solicitor fees, etc. And they are all counted as capital expenses. You cannot claim those expenses against your sort of everyday revenue of running a business. However, you might also need to do some repairs or some improvements to the property. And this is sort of the important distinction. So if you are specifically improving the property, so just to pick a random example, if you buy a house where the ensuite is completely dysfunctional and doesn't really work and he's ripping out and replacing, that's clearly an improvement, because the point at which you bought the property, it did not have a working ensuite, and you are going to fix it so that it does have a working ensuite. Significant improvement. And that improvement has to be considered a capital expense. However, if your property is perfectly functional and you could rent it out, but you choose to sort of update it a little bit, maybe update is the wrong word, but to maintain it, that's the word, just apply maintenance. So you apply some paint, you perhaps replace a carpet or two that's damaged or worn out, basically, not damaged, worn out. And maybe you've got a white good or two in there that again, just needs replacement on a like-for-like basis. Or maybe the boiler is worn out and that's due a replacement. It's still functional, but it needs replacing. So standard maintenance type tasks. And you buy a property that's in this situation where you're going to do some maintenance on it. Now, if things align and you get this right, those maintenance type tasks can be considered everyday expenses in your business, sort of running expenses. So in this scenario, I'm going to say that we spend, I'm going to say, because we have used round numbers, I've said £10,000 on maintaining the property so that it's in the state you want it to be in when you put it out to the rental market. And this is going to take you a couple of months to line up the builders and get the painters in and sort out the carpet replacement, what have you. So you're going to be paying some council tax, you're going to be paying some utility bills during that time. And that's going to give you sort of £10,500 of expenses that typically as investors, we would consider sort of be our investment, because it's capital you have to put in at the beginning. You can't immediately, or you don't have any immediate cash to use in the business for that. So it's investment. And typically when we calculate return on investment in a property, we include that sort of upfront getting started money, even though really it's considered in a business and for tax purposes, I think, check with an advisor, that you can consider that against ongoing everyday expenses. So, and this is sort of the key to this structure. So we've got our deposit, £37,500, stamp duty, £4,500, some fees, £1,000. That's just what I've thrown into this spreadsheet. And then we've got these sort of initial maintenance tasks, £10,500 in total. And then after those couple of months, we rent out the property. We're going for a £900 a month rent. So over the remaining 10 months of the year, we've got £9,000 of income. We've had some other ongoing costs that are inevitable in running a property business. Well, I say inevitable. Some of them you could do yourself. But anyway, we've got the cost of an agent. We've got the cost of just minor repairs here and there, maybe a gas safety certificate through the year and replacing a tap, just minor things. And then, of course, we've got the mortgage interest that we have to pay throughout that year as well. And of course, that would actually be on 12 months, not the 10 months when it's rented, because we've owned the property for 12 months. So this is going to give us a total of those sort of everyday running costs of £7,460. Now, so at the basic level, you can say, okay, so I've got my rent of 9,000. I've got my running costs of nearly 7,500. So I've made a profit of £1,540. And that's profit. That's money that sort of sits in the business and stays in the business above and beyond the initial investment you put in, which was a bit over 53,000. And if you work that out as a return on investment, you've made 2.8%. So not too bad, really. But then when you actually look at it from the point of view of a business and tax returns and things, you've got this extra 10,500 from the maintenance you had to do up front. And that means for that year, your business made a loss of nearly £9,000. Now, that means that hopefully, if what I'm saying is vaguely correct, check with a tax advisor, that you don't have any corporation tax to pay on this first year. And officially, on paper, which is what Stuart was saying, officially, if your business officially doesn't make a profit, then it's not a real business. But officially, this business has not made a profit. It has made a loss. And this is my point, that a property business can make a loss officially, but still actually be a real property business that is generating income and that you would consider to be valid return on your investment. And I don't know if, jump in, Stuart, if you've got anything to shout about or ask questions about before I go on to a quick run through of the next couple of years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my only comment is on real, let's take property out, but real business. So it can still be a business if we project it to, but at some stage a business would have to make some money and does have to make some money. Now, you know, I know it was talked about before, but at some stage, the businesses, even the biggest businesses that we've seen come and go, like WeWork, for example, that at one stage got valued at £40 billion. They didn't make any money. We don't talk about WeWork anymore because at some stage, and the reason people invest in things is not for the fun of it. They invest in things to make money. So whilst we can accept losses in a, you know, in a short term, in the few years, there has to be the hope and the vision of something more to come. So that's all I'm going to say as we move into years 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, so without comment on that, year 2, you do exactly the same thing, all the same costs, all the same process. You've got a second property now. Of course, your first property is still running. And that is still making you money. We're assuming there's no significant voids or anything else. So that's just running on. And that now means you've put in a total of £107,000 of investment in order to be able to buy the first property and buy the second property. But because the first property was running on, you've made a bit more money on that one. And then you've made a small bit on the second property that you've brought online as well. So in total, you've now made £15,000 in this year. And, my apologies. Get that wrong. £15,000 of expenses in this year. It helps if I read the right cell. So you've now made £4,500 of profit in this year. That sounds much more likely to what I was expecting this to come out at. And that means that you've made an ROI, a return on the investment that you've put in, that you've expected, of 4.4%. So that's now a pretty good return on investment. I mean, it's not amazing, but it's pretty good. And yet, your business in this second financial year of its life has still made a loss of nearly £6,000. And jumping on to year 3, of course, the process repeats, continues a bit. You're now making an ROI of 4.9%, and you've actually made a sort of cash profit into the business of nearly £8,000. But your official accounting and tax, and yes, some people correct me that they're actually different, but anyway, I'm assuming similar for this example, that is still a loss of £2,700. In your business. And it's not until doing this a fourth time in a fourth year that the money from that's accumulated from the past properties staying in the business and still doing better versus this extra investment you're putting in and the extra spending that you're having, that now finally you've put in £214,000 of investment. You've got nearly £11,000 of sort of cash profit coming back into the business in this year. So you've got a 5.1% return on investment in this year. And now, finally, you have actually made an official profit of about £400. Now, in actual fact, you've got losses from past years that, in accounting purposes, will be carried forwards. So you still wouldn't have to actually pay tax, potentially, because you've got losses carried forwards to write off against your profit of that year. So this is where sort of accounting profit and tax profit and whatever else gets very complicated and way past my expertise. So now, yes, you're right, Stuart. 4 years in, we have, in this particular scenario, finally made a real business that has got real money in it. But I would stipulate that if you had the capital to keep building this, and we're building a pension pot or whatever else, we've got salary, we're in a really good job, and we're putting in £54,000 every year, although the amount actually decreased substantially, but we're putting that in every year in order to build this investment. So perhaps we don't care about actually making a profit or taking money out of this at this stage in our lives. And I think you might actually choose to accelerate your purchasing. So maybe you would buy more than one property a year. You buy a property every 8 months, maybe, because you've now got some money coming back from the rental. So that could substitute or sorry, could complement what you're putting in from your own day job or whatever. So things could accelerate. And if you did that, then you'd have more initial maintenance costs to write off. So you could quite likely keep this scenario running, making losses for longer than 4 years. So is it only a real business after year four in this scenario? Or is it a real business from year one?
Well, I always refer people to actual definitions. And so let's just say a business is an organization or entity engaged in commercial,
you've
industrial...
You've things up while I've been trying to do this. That's just not fair.
Or professional activities. Let's just listen to this. With the primary goal of making a profit. So if we are making a business, its primary goal, not secondary, not tertiary, its primary goal is to make a profit. Now, again, accepting that property is slightly different, I personally would not... I think the methodology is, if we're seeking a loss, I think we've got things back to front. Because ultimately...
But I never said we were seeking a loss. I only said that the business is officially happening to make a loss.
Yeah.
Not that we're seeking a loss. And the goal is to make a profit. It's just not yet in the current accounts.
So just so I understand, so in terms of the ROI, we're saying that so in year four, the return on investment is 5.1% for that year?
Yeah, yeah. So by that point, the total capital you've had to put into this business has accumulated to £214,000. And the profit, the running profit that you make in that year is nearly £11,000. So 11,000 is about 5.1% of the 214 that you've put in. So yeah, it's the return in that year on the total investment you've put into this business over 4 years.
Yeah, I think, you know, given we are the Business of Property podcast, I would... So for absolute clarity, my property business, I don't think we've actually turned a profit since inception. But obviously that's not intentional. That's just because we've been growing fast. However,
exactly. And you see, that's what this scenario is basically depicting. The fact that you've got a property business and it's growing and you're putting money into it. And because of the way it's working and what it's doing, it happens not to make a profit. That doesn't necessarily mean it's not generating money.
Yeah. But I think, you know, so for me, obviously, the business has created, it's still created a lot of cash flow. And it's just because of the building that we're doing. I think, so for the sake of this example, to create 5.1% at the end of 4 years, I would be extremely disappointed to reach this point. Because I, you know, we've talked about this before. I had some Vanguard shares, and I had a look across 2 years. So just by putting money in, so I just opened an account and put some money in the account. So it took me 5 minutes, and then went and made a cup of tea. The average interest rate was, would you hazard a guess?
It's very so much depending on which time period you pick, but I happen to know that that it, as it stands right now, shares are doing quite well, but in the past few years they've done not so well. So I don't know.
But over the long term, so again, my last 2 years, it's averaged. In fact, the total 2 years was 19.76%. So it's averaged 10% per annum. So I would posit that if I'm building a business, I have to build the business to make it profitable. Otherwise, I am essentially, it's almost like, circular reference. We're kind of doing it because we're almost trying to not make money so that we don't pay tax. But actually, by not paying tax, we're not making much money. And so, and again, using your previous examples, I completely agree. And the reason sort of VCs and people push loads of money, because they are trying to back a unicorn that is going to provide them significant returns, and it's not going to be 5.1%. It's going to be 300%. It's going to be 1,000, because that's where the money is. And again, for the thousands of skeletons in the graveyard will be the ones that don't work. So can a property business not make money? I think I agree, of course it can, and my business has done that. But for people trying to create a property business, we're talking about making money versus not making money on paper. But for me, even that has irked me in my business, because to be a fully functioning business, I can only go and do more things when we start recording profit. So I can't keep building that business. And again, that's a different methodology. If you've got a small portfolio and you just want it to tick along and not really have to fund it, I get it. But if you want to build a what is actually officially and acknowledged as a business, it has to make money both on paper and in the real world. And these examples, for me, it actually just strengthens my belief that I would want to build something that makes real money.
So I think we're violently agreeing, really, because I do agree. Ultimately, a business has to make money. And ultimately, when a business makes money, it should and it must, should, I don't know, be paying tax as well and recording a profit in order to do that. And that is obviously the ultimate goal of business. And the only real sort of contention point, I think, is that I would consider this property business scenario to be a real business in years 1, 2, and 3, while it's still not really recording an official profit. But what you're talking about is growing a business.
You're talking about growing a business. So that it's just the stage of life that it's at. So
But it is also default alive. So if you stopped growing it, if you stopped putting more money into it to do more with it, then at that point it would start making a profit as well. So you have got a real business there, or the kernel of a real business, I think. And I think it's really, really just that it will be a business. It will make a profit in the future. And hence, I feel that means it should count as a real business, even though at those early years, at that early point, it's not officially profitable. So I think we might have to agree to disagree on this one.
I think we're going to have to leave it there, because I think we're always going to respectfully end these podcasts and not end up having fights on them. We're going to end the podcast and have our fight afterwards. Only joking, listeners and viewers, we've never done that. And
on the next recording, we'll still have the bruises to show for it. It'll be fine.
But I hope that you listeners and viewers have enjoyed this podcast. And what we've tried to bring out is just some thinking around how we set things up. And of course, everyone thinks about things slightly differently. And as said on previous podcasts, it's about setting your vision, your strategy for what you want to build. We are the business of property, and we are about building things profitably, because without profit, there is, there is no value in doing what we do. We want profit and returns. You know, that is what we do property for. And if you've got any views or anything to share and support Simon's arguments, my views, or anything in between, please do reach out to us in any of the channels that you can find in the show notes below. And other than that, we will see you on the next episode.